been murdered. Other friends have flown before. On the morrow he will leave me, as my hopes have flown before. And the bird said nevermore.
You're listening to The Call Podcast with Brandon and Josh.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of The Call. It is a Baltimore Ravens podcast where we talk anything and everything Baltimore Ravens football. Thank you for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. Well, the draft is over. Here we are. We've got some new Ravens to welcome to the flock. Joining me, as always, the guy who he got drafted before the number one draft pick for the Ravens this year. My buddy Josh, what's going on, man? How you doing? Fresh off the NFL draft countdown. How you doing? What's going on, man?
Yeah, man. It was a fun experience. It was a fun experience for all just to watch the draft online, but to be a part of the Ravens inner circle and to be featured in that way, man, that was something special. And I'm happy that, you know, I got the word out and everybody got to see me, and I had countless videos and pics from the whole thing, and people are like, no way. And it was awesome. You saw it and all that. It was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah, so if you go over to The Call Facebook page, facebook.com/The Call Podcast, you can check out a video of Josh on the screen during the NFL draft, and we kind of circled him because there's a bunch of different Ravens fans on the screen, so we circled you. But I mean, it's pretty easy to tell which one you are since you were dressed up in your Batman outfit that you wear to all the games. So that was pretty cool.
Speaking of, I almost switched it up.
Really?
Yeah. Well, obviously the Ravens weren't picking till late, and I want to kind of get your opinion about it because, yeah, I talked to my buddy Paul on Twitter, and he kind of set the record straight because I actually was, before the whole thing started, right, I was actually going to rep the purple camo pants like I always do, but I was going to go Lamar's apparel, and you know his old Air 8 apparel. I was going to wear Lamar's apparel, and I almost switched it up, right? So what kind of changed my mind about it was during the rehearsals, to give you kind of an inside thing. So I tuned in live on my iPad. You know, I'm live with the producers, and I can see each team being queued up. I can see all the fans that were being featured. And one of the fans, I think it was a Miami Dolphins fan, he had like a gladiator mask all painted up like the Dolphins. And I thought that was pretty neat. So I said, well, if other people are wearing head masks and helmets, I'm going to do it too. And I said, you got to stick to Batman. So this was during rehearsal on Tuesday night prior. So the night of the draft, I get online. I'm dressed in my suit and all that. We get on, do the audio testing. We got it going. So it's pretty cool because you're listening to cues on the producer and going like, okay, and you guys are up. And if there's a trade, like obviously they switch. Hey, you guys are next. And it's pretty cool. And I had the live feed, so I had to watch out because, you know, obviously I had my phone there with me of other people texting me during the draft coverage. And so I got to, I couldn't give them any secrets because I'm live. Yet I can see what's going on. And then I went out in the living room, right, Brandon? And the live feed on TV, it was like 10 seconds behind. So I know like everything that's going on prior to, obviously the feed on the TV. So it was pretty cool experience that way. But getting back to the Batman thing, I was like, you know what? I kind of want to, you know, just forego that. It's a fun thing. Everybody knows. And then right when the Seahawks were on the clock, and the Ravens were up next, and they picked, I kind of just said, you know what? Screw it. I said, let's just, I just threw the helmet on, and let's just go with it. So I went with that, and I was happy I did it. Then the aftermath, of course, people are like, they know who I am, right? You guys know who I look like. And at the end of the day, I talked to my buddy Paul, and he was like, look, everybody knows that your whole get up during the game, that's what you go to the games, right? So I kind of was like, yeah, you're right, because I kind of want to change it up. So, and there was another, you know, I don't know. I think I might change up the outfit later this year. I don't know. There were some suggestions with some friends of mine, but Batman was shown. So it was a cool experience. I'll never forget it. Even my coworkers and my boss knew about it, and I shared it with them, and my boss got the video of it. He saw me on TV. So, and I saw the replay. I recorded it, and I saw the replay on TV, so I got to see it. But, Brandon, I don't know if you saw this, which was fascinating. So, ESPN carried the coverage, right?
Right.
Well, NFL Network worked together to, you know, create the broadcast, and they simulcasted there. So, it wasn't like you usually, when it's a live event, you have NFL Network posted up, you have ESPN posted up, you have all these, you know, networks posted up to cover it. Well, ESPN was the flagship for the coverage. But apparently ABC, because obviously there's a sister station with ESPN, they carried the coverage with their NFL, not the NFL, but the college game day crew.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, so I didn't know that. So apparently one of my buddies, Rich, who has the season tickets with me, he goes with us to a few select games. You know, he was watching on there, and they had a different feed. And I was able to find it, and I found it online because NFL Network, as you've seen, not NFL Network, but ESPN, we were getting frustrated because Goodell would sometimes stand in the corner of the TV and not get out of the way. And I was afraid that I was going to get stuck right there. And it was kind of like comical and frustrating at the same time because it's like, dude, move. But, but ABC's feed, we got to see the whole thing. So when Goodell announced the pick, the Ravens picked right before they panned to him, they did a close-up of the whole grid. So, like, for, like, maybe 3 to 5 seconds, you can see all the fans cheering. So it was pretty wild to actually see that. So I got that footage as well, you know, and it just was an awesome experience. I do have you to thank, man, because I had some, technical issues and some formatting issues with the video and the submission to send it to the Ravens. So it was a collaborative effort. So I wouldn't have been there if it wasn't for your help, man. So thank you.
No, well, absolutely. I mean, when you called and told me that this opportunity was out there, I'm like, well, dude, you have to do it. I mean, you get dressed up every game. You live and breathe the Ravens. Everything points to you being able to do this. I'm so glad that they picked you. And yeah, I agree. You definitely have to do the Baltimore Batman get up while you were doing it. I wanted to know, watching the video of you on there, what did you have on your hands? Because it looked like you had like Raven claws or something, or Wolverine or something going on. You were mixing your Marvel characters. Well, Batman's DC.
Yeah, I did. I actually had Raven claws. I can send a photo to the call Facebook. It just came to me. I wasn't going to do it, right? I actually had my football gloves on like you usually do. But I'm sitting there just watching the draft coverage, and I'm looking around in my office where I was posted up, and I have these plush Ravens claws that you can actually fit your hands into. Like, they're not like, yeah, it looks like Wolverine. So I'm like sitting there, and I was playing with them, and I said, you know what? Let me wear these on TV, like during the thing when I'm on there, show like Ravens claws and stuff. So it would actually like add an element to it. But like, it was funny because like how the situation was, like I can watch the live feed, but then there's a little box with my camera so I can see myself. So then I can make the full screen bigger for me and make the live feed smaller so I can like pull myself up. So I'm sitting there like trying to figure out if it's going to block my view with the claws. And then I kind of got situated and just came to me. So yeah, they weren't part of my everyday thing and they wouldn't come to games with me, but they were just laying around and I figured, to beef up the fanfare a little bit.
Well, let's get right into it. Let's talk about this draft. The Ravens, from everybody that I have read, has gotten either an A or a B+ grade. Everyone says that the Ravens addressed all the issues that they had, if not all, very close to all of the issues that they have been looking for, that they drafted very well, and that Eric DaCosta really is showing off and how he can be as a GM, because he is proving any doubter wrong, and that he is taking every draft seriously and working just some magic here. So everywhere I'm reading says, hey, grade A-, B+. What was your grade?
That dude, definitely a solid A, man. I mean, you know, Mel Kiper knocked out of the park on his breakdown. You know, A++++ and everybody's tickled to death. I mean, if you look up and down Twitter reaction, social media reaction all across the board, it seemed like anytime the Ravens did something or on the clock or at the aftermath of the draft, it just was nothing but high praise for him. And no, I'm very excited for this whole draft class, and we'll certainly go right through the game and break them all down. But masterful, as always, what the Ravens continue to do. The transition from power from Ozzie to Eric DaCosta. Eric DaCosta's second full season and doing the draft last year. Definitely had some heavy hitters there with Hollywood Brown. You know, hit a few players that just panned out for us well. So I'm really excited for this draft class coming in. Again, Eric DaCosta maneuvering the board as he always does, knowing, you know, again, I think the Ravens, especially after his first year last year at the helm, have gone away from that best player available, and they look at their needs, and if their player isn't there, they fall back, they make the trades accordingly. So before we get down to breaking down the draft picks, Brandon, I wanted to really ask you, did you really have a sense of what the Ravens did as far as maneuvering the draft board that night?
Oh, I liked what they did on Friday night, where they traded a pick with the Patriots and they were able to gain a pick, but it wasn't that far back. You know, it was, they gave up their spot, but within what, five or six spots later, they were already picking again. So they actually gained a draft pick, even though they did move back. So I really liked that. It seemed like they knew what they were doing.
Always, man. I mean, are you one to question the great Eric DaCosta? Well, here, break it down here, because a lot of people are confused, and this is the easiest way I can break it down. So entering the draft, the Ravens had, there's nine draft picks, right? So if we look at the aftermath of what the Ravens did, we ended up with, let's see, 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. Say they gained a pick. So we got 10. So, but what the Ravens did with that trade was really masterful. So what they did entering the draft, they had 2 second-round picks, 2 third-round picks, and 2 fourth-round picks right in the meat of the draft, right? So what they did is when they swapped that position with the Patriots, they had picks 55 and 60, right? So what they did is they fell back 11 spots to 71, and they traded one of those fourth-rounders and made it into a third-rounder. So when they traded from 60 to 71, they fell out of the second and into the early third. So with falling back and swapping out one of those fours for a third round, they gained 4 third-round picks. Now, all the numbers is confusing, but they got a first, they had a second, and then they picked 4 times in round 3. There was a lot of value there. So the Ravens just very masterful across the board. That's one of my favorite words with describing this team and how they maneuvered. Dude, that was fantastic to really see how it all came about. And when it's all said and done, we have a draft class that we can certainly sink our teeth into, man. I think this is awesome.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's talk about that first round pick. He shared a screen with you on Thursday night at number 28 in round 1. The Ravens picked up Patrick Queen from LSU. He is a linebacker, and Lamar Jackson's already dubbed him Ray Lewis Jr. Those are some pretty big shoes to fill if you're getting called Ray Lewis Jr. So what do you think of Patrick Queen? I've watched some highlights since he's been drafted, and I know you're watching highlight reels and they're going to show you the best stuff, but he seems to really know how to play his position and put pressure on a quarterback. So what do you think of Patrick Queen?
I think the comparisons are natural to even say. Obviously, him following in the footsteps, he's the third linebacker drafted in the first round. Ray Lewis, well before him, Hall of Famers, and right, C.J. Mosley was the next in line. Pro Bowler, high caliber player, got big contract last offseason with the Jets. So Patrick Queen, the third linebacker, he is undersized. And with the notion of undersized is with linebackers, it's something you don't really want to associate. But wasn't that the knock when just Hall of Famer Ray Lewis, right? Where, you know, he kind of had that mantra about him. Oh, he's undersized. He's not going to make it. Well, obviously, Ray fell to 26 for the Ravens, and it's all said and done. Patrick Queen to 28. Now, what I've heard about Queen is when you're talking about his undersized, I've heard the term safety came to mind. He's got that safety build, right? And because he said he can fly around to the ball. He's fast. But, you know, you really typically don't see linebackers built like that. But we're not too concerned because, you know, the way the NFL is, how the Ravens are built, you know, faster and all that, I want our linebackers quick and light on the feet and fast, especially chasing down these fast receivers, just like how the Chiefs play football. They're fast, they're quick. We got some big tight ends in the middle. Yeah, there's big physical receivers. Everybody in the NFL is physical. But I just feel like with longer the days of getting some, you know, big brute linebacker just sitting tall in the middle of the field there, you know, like a Jack Lambert or obviously Ray Lewis, you know, back in the day, you know, it's now it's quickness coverage. And I think Patrick Queen fits the bill. He has that play like a Raven mantra all over him. Couldn't be more pleased. And the Ravens made history with him by drafting him the first player ever. Dude, all the Ravens draft picks in their history since 1996, one school they have not ventured to pick a player was LSU. Of all the great players coming out of LSU, of all the history that school has in the SEC, just coming off a national championship, Patrick Queen, it was the first LSU player ever selected for the Ravens, so definitely history made this time.
And linebackers seem to be a very popular position to get filled, and we saw the Chargers and the Seahawks both add linebackers as well.
Yeah, Chargers took Kenneth Murray, who I thought the Ravens would have gotten too. So Murray, as we discussed, Murray and Queen were my two picks, so I was happy to land either one of them.
What sets him apart from these two other players?
Well, I think the pedigree of which he plays. Obviously, he's a champion at his own right. And what I think separates him from the pack is his motivation. You know, he was interviewed and said post the draft pick that happened, he said, "You're getting the best motivated player," and paraphrasing him, obviously, the best and most motivated, passionate player in this whole draft. So I feel like, you know, what they've seen on the film, obviously knowing the school he came from, the championship pedigree, but knowing his fire and drive, I think that was certainly what separates him from the pack. You know, not to say if Patrick Queen was picked early and we would have to go another direction, we would have to obviously have great things to say about that player. But as we know, there's only one Patrick Queen in the world, and you only have to, you know, break him down the way you want to and need to. And I feel like his pass rushing ability, getting in the backfield, being disruptive, it fits the bill perfectly for a Wink Martindale defense.
All right, moving on to round two at pick 55, the Ravens picked up a running back, J.K. Dobbins. And why do you think they went after a running back here? We have Mark Ingram as your solid number one. Gus the Bus is still here as well. J.K. Dobbins, I think from the highlights I've seen, he seems like he's a fast player and he's a good player and definitely somebody I'm glad they have. But Mark Ingram, he seems to be the number one guy. So why do you think they went with this guy in round two?
I can certainly answer that for you. So why they did is right there, as you said, obviously we have a whole stable of running backs. With adding Dobbins, that means we have Dobbins, Justice Hill from last year's draft, Gus Edwards, and Mark Ingram. And then, hey, you got Lamar. So there's five running backs right there, right? So technically, five runners. Four backs and a quarterback who has that ability. So everybody's like, okay. You know, every time when this pick came up, everybody's like, all right, here's our receiver. Here's our O-line. Here we go. And then a running back, and everybody was baffled. But it ain't just any running back, Brandon. It is J.K. Dobbins from Ohio State University. This kid is dynamic, man. If you don't know much about him, I'm just going to tell you this. He rushed for over 2,000 yards last year.
Oh, wow.
It's a lot. Yeah, 2003 to be exact. He has 4,400 in his college career in 3 years amassed there at Ohio State. Here's why. Mark Ingram is, what, nearing 30, even though he has less tread on his tires, or obviously, you know, pun intended there. So the wear and tear for Mark Ingram is a little bit less than anticipated because he split time with Alvin Kamara and all that. But also, Mark Ingram's the oldest of those backs. He's approaching 30. It is old for a running back, young for a man of his stature, but he's younger than me, which is crazy. But you know, but with that regard, I have to look back on Mark's contract, but I'm not sure. I can't remember if it was a 2 or 3 year deal. Obviously, he's entering his second season with the Ravens. Now knowing that he's coming off the injury, right, from last year, obviously we expect him to be 100% entering the season, but you can never be too careful. Gus Edwards is going to be a free agent, so I understand after next year. I don't expect him to be back on the team. If he does well as the backup role, he could certainly easily land a role, and I feel like he's a starting running back on most teams in this league. So the Ravens drafted this one for the future. This one looks like it's writing on the wall for Ingram and Edwards, but I feel like the Justice Hill and Dobbins roles will be here. They're the backs for the future. Remains to be seen, right, my friend? But the dude runs like a demon possessed, man. He's flashy, he's quick. And with the Ravens, again, I use the term rich get richer. It's the because everybody said, well, the Ravens led the league in rushing, you know, last year, and they set the whole franchise mark, the NFL mark for most rushing yards. But that's what it is. Not only are you already did that, now you're just adding more to it. So, you know, obviously there needs to be some improvement in the receiver game, but they just showed the commitment to the run by selecting Dobbins at 55, who the Dolphins wanted at 56, is my understanding. So they not only kept the Dolphins from becoming better, but the Ravens just improved their running game leaps and bounds. Not that it wasn't already improved before, but this is a great pick at that spot for Dobbins at 55, which is one of the highest rated running backs in all the draft. And this wasn't really a running back heavy draft. It was more defense, quarterback, and receiver, especially up top. So, running backs were a few and far between, and we got one of the great ones.
And I wanted to ask you, J.K. Dobbins here is the running back. Do you think that last year's playoff loss had anything to do with bringing in Dobbins? Because we saw what happens when Mark Ingram got hurt. And like you said, I mean, we're hoping he's 100% and we're hoping he stays healthy, but he is the veteran running back right now. So, I mean, he is older. He is more that he has bigger chance of getting injuries. So by bringing this kid in, do you think that they're kind of addressing the issue of the playoffs and having somebody or at least a group of guys in one position that can last an entire season? And if it goes past, you know, those 16 games and goes for a nice deep run into the playoffs, you're going to have enough talent there backing up your number one guy to take you on those long runs in case something like that happens. Do you think that was also a big point of why you get this guy in the second round?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more on that. Yes, because memory serves correctly, what do we have? 42 rushing yards is what I have it here in the Titans game. So of all that hype and flash that the Ravens showed in the regular season, amassing 12 straight wins, still 14-2 record, running past everybody, Lamar passing the ball like crazy, MVP season, and then Mark Ingram gets hurt. And we have 3 weeks off. He still was a little bothered. And, you know, he got hurt in Cleveland. And then all of a sudden, Ravens forget how to run the football. You know, so I feel like this was kind of like, hey, Mark Ingram's our guy. But what happens if he's slow? What happens if he's hurt? What happens if this? And I feel like because we couldn't put that complete game plan together with our running attack, amassing less than 50 yards total. Now, the Ravens are like, no, we're going to show them because they're, you know, and you're seeing the draft shape up, right? In these first two picks, the Ravens drafted a middle linebacker, right, to, you know, help stop the run and be disruptive in the passing game because we didn't put pressure on quarterbacks. We couldn't stop the run. Derrick Henry ran all over us. And then you're like saying, well, Josh, you don't stop Derrick Henry with a safety-sized linebacker, no. But it's a collective effort, and this certainly helps. And then the running game, Dobbins will help provide that fresh perspective, youth movement on that running back squad. And I feel like this is the kind of the 1-2 punch right in the beginning of the draft of addressing both issues that we saw in the playoff game. And I think the playoff game, Brandon, you want to take the season as a whole, build on that. Like, look at your weaknesses as a team and build upon the team. But I feel like the Ravens were such a shoe-in to win the whole thing last year. Obviously, you got to play the games, but because they were such a shoe-in on paper and how they played and, you know, just running amok on the NFL, just going crazy, then the Titans come into town, the Ravens have home field, and then they look like it was a preseason game. Like, no one played. No one played with heart. No one played with vigor. I think the most fired up the Ravens were coming was out of tunnel, and that's it. So, no, they got to do better than that. And I feel like these two picks certainly address the issues coming from that playoff game.
That's right. And you win as a team, you lose as a team. So hopefully this draft helped strengthen the team up as much as possible. Now, round three, we should just call this the Ravens round. They had four picks. They drafted a defensive tackle, a wide receiver, a linebacker, and a guard. Of these four positions, which one are you happiest that the Ravens got somebody in round three?
I would say the receiver.
You think the wide receiver? Wide receiver.
Yes, because we need help there. If it's no secret that the Ravens had one of the most dismal receiving cores, even though it is kind of crazy how Lamar Jackson had the MVP season that he did, albeit coupled with his legs, because it wasn't just through the air, but he had a league-leading 36 touchdown passes, a Ravens franchise record, and we had the receiving core that we had. And I did some digging about the receiving core that we had previously. Now, there are some current pieces still from there, but the Ravens wanted to add playmakers because the Ravens only totaled 1,419 yards as a collective effort from the receivers. Now, obviously, playing a big part of that is the passes to the running backs that aren't accounted for. This is just receivers. This isn't the great plays to Mark Andrews and the former Hayden Hurst and Nick Boyle. No, this isn't that. This is pretty much all the receivers. You know, Chris Moore, Seth Roberts, Willie Snead, Hollywood Brown, Miles Boykin, all those players. And, you know, obviously there's no more Seth Roberts. Chris Moore remains to be seen. So I look at it this way. Your starting three wide receivers for the Ravens as it stands is Marquise Brown, Willie Snead, and Miles Boykin. So I feel like they definitely needed help. And what fits the bill is Devin Duvernay from Texas fits that bill big time. Some of the stats on this guy is incredible. Here's a quote from the scouting report. Devin Duvernay runs like he hates humanity and he blasts through tacklers. I don't know about you, man, but that screams play like a Raven wide receiver all over him, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah, and you want that on this offense. And he hardly drops everything. Or he hardly has drops, and you know, it's just so awesome to see the Ravens really, they do scouting well, and they know exactly what this team lacks and what this team needs. And you know, the scouting reporter on Devin, man, I'm just really excited to really see that.
Devin Duvernay is definitely a talent, and I'm glad they picked him up. Again, I was, after he got drafted, I started watching some highlights of him, and there's this one catch in the end zone, and he is smart enough to be able to catch the ball and get his toes in bounds. I mean, that's always something that I'm really I love to see from a wide receiver. Yes, it's great that they've got smart hands and they're able to catch the ball, but if you don't get both feet in bounds, then that catch means nothing. So it definitely shows that he is aware of where he is when he is on the field, and that it's not just hand-eye coordination. It's also knowing where your toes are and making sure the points count. And I think that's something that's going to be very important for the Ravens going forward, because Lamar, he's been working on his throwing, and we saw him last year. His arm is good, but it's accurate, but you never know what he's going to throw or who he's throwing to, and you got to be on your toes at all time. And Devin Duvernay definitely seems like the type of player that can handle that.
Absolutely, he does, man. He's going to be a force to reckon with in this offense for sure, and I think he'll fit right in, bringing his A game from college to the pros, and just his skill set. Now, he's a dynamic player. The scouting report, from what I've seen, I'm literally looking right at it from his scouting report to his tape. Everything just it coincides, man. Devin Duvernay is going to be one of those dynamic. He reminds me of the Miles Boykin pick. Now, obviously, still we have some development with our receivers. You know, it's really hard for a receiver to come in from day one, play one, and just look awesome, you know, for years to come. But I feel like with, you know, the development of Miles Boykin, we already know what Brown's going to be, and he's going to be that burner off the top. And we already know what Mark Andrews is providing for the Ravens. So I feel like Duvernay, Boykin can certainly develop. Snead's now a proven slot veteran. And that's what it is he's going to provide help in the slot. And the Ravens certainly lack a dynamic kick returner. So their services could be rendered there for those kind of different positions that, you know, we certainly had a kick returner in a long time. So, you know, Devin Duvernay can certainly fit the bill there as well to help out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, like you said, guys, potentially like Chris Moore, maybe on the way out for the wide receiving position. The Hollywood Brown, though, I know he's going to be fine. But do you think Devin Duvernay, I think the two of them together, is going to be just speedy? I think they're both going to be going right down the sidelines and making defenses work really hard against this wide receiver core. But last year with Hollywood having some issues with his ankle and being hurt, missing a couple games, I think getting Devin Duvernay to strengthen the wide receiver core really is going to help out a lot, because Hollywood looks great in the offseason from what I've seen and what he's done working out. But you do have to worry about that ankle and whether or not he's going to miss a game next year.
Absolutely.
So before Devin Duvernay came out, there was Justin, I hope I'm saying his name correctly, Madubuike. There you go. He's a defensive tackle from Texas A&M. Have you seen any of his highlights?
I sure have. And some of the things I've certainly seen, he's going to fit again right in. I mean, you're going to kind of hear that on every pick. He's going to fit right in. He fits, play like a Raven. Obviously, we drafted him for a reason, so that we can put that right there on there. So looking over, Justin Madubuike, first and foremost, what struck me is his emotions. There was a video out there on the Ravens site that when Eric DaCosta called him, he was very emotional, with his family around him and just making his dream come true and being selected by the Ravens. But what they get, here's something. This is all you need to know about Madubuike. You ready? Here's his scouting report. I love putting my hand in somebody's throat and just pushing them all the way backwards. What more needs to be said there?
That's a Raven right there.
That's a Raven, man. And moving right along, the Ravens stayed with the defense. And number 98 overall, round three, they got Dobbins' teammate. They have Malik Harrison, outside linebacker from Ohio State. There was some reaction out there on Twitter that as soon as this pick happened, some people are like, did y'all really just let the Ravens draft Patrick Queen and Malik Harrison on the same team? These two inside and outside linebackers are probably going to be the future for the Ravens on their defense. And just, you know, with knowing what Martindale does with defensive schemes and linebacking, you know, put it this way, you obviously know who Chase Young is. He was drafted second overall with the Redskins. Chase Young was Malik and Dobbins' teammate. Put it this way, Malik Harrison ranks second at Ohio State in pressure percentages, trailing only the second overall Chase Young. He had 15 tackles behind the line of scrimmage, were fifth most in the Big Ten last season. So, again, another disruptive player. He can also be a special teamer, so look out for Malik Harrison to make an impact. And, closing out the third round, I couldn't be more, happy with some of the additions that the Ravens have. But basically right there, it pretty much comes into play with adding depth. Now, when you talk about moving to later rounds in rounds, four, five, six, and seven, and I feel like this is where the depth's added. You still find playmakers deep in the draft that, you just don't know if it'll pan out. Look at Tom Brady, look at Julian Edelman, obviously. They were late picks. Antonio Brown was, I think, a fifth-round pick as well. You just don't know. But here's where you start to add depth, and you could find a diamond in the rough, man.
That's right, and you do have guys like in the third round, we do have Malik Harrison, who was an inside linebacker who was picked up by the Ravens at number 98, and then 106, you have Tyree Phillips. He's an offensive lineman, and both of those positions are ones that the Ravens were a little bit worried about. And the thing about Malik Harrison that's kind of interesting, this guy is 18 pounds heavier than Queen. So you're bringing way more muscle into that position by drafting both these guys in the same class.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I couldn't be more happy to have them both, make that impact right away. Might not see it, but they both certainly have the potential to really make the impact on the team.
And then you do have the offensive lineman, Tyree Phillips, in round three at pick 106. And the Ravens actually said that they're going to let him compete at multiple positions. And that's really important, too, because on the offensive line, we have seen a lot of players swap positions and move around in case of injuries or something like that. We've seen guys switch from the left or the right side. And with Marshall Yanda retiring, there are some spots open in the offensive line. So it's good to see them bringing in some new talent as well.
Absolutely. And that, and there's where our, there's our O-line pick. You know, it happened, you know, late in third. We knew they needed a replacement for Yanda. You know, Tyree Phillips, who knows if he's going to be that immediate replacement right out the gate, because obviously I feel like Ben Powers is going to get that spot, you know, which is open right now. But there's challenges there. And then we can add depth. And then right behind there, not only did we add Phillips from Mississippi State, but one of my favorite picks behind him was Ben Bredesen from Michigan. He's a guard from Michigan, and I feel like the, even though he's brought up playing as guard, the Ravens could view him as a tackle. Ben Bredesen, you have to wonder if he had the Harbaugh connection, right? Being that Jim Harbaugh coached him in Michigan, you wonder if John placed a call about him. I'm sure it happened. Maybe got some inside information. But the guy, talking about Bredesen, he's an absolute beast. And I feel like he's going to also challenge for the spot. And there's something I found. I found a tweet here about Bredesen, and I actually have it. So I'm going to pull it up here and give credit, because it was actually – I love seeing reactions, you know, to some of the things out here. So it's actually John Leonard. He's an NFL draft analyst. Ravens got Ben Bredesen. You got to be kidding me. He was 65 on my board. Extremely consistent pass protector. Not a mauler in the run game, but at, he gets after it and he'll work. It's awesome value there. So
wow. So he was number 65 in this guy's draft, and he got drafted at 143. That, man, that's quite a drop.
Awesome, and that's the point I wanted to make. Thank you. Yep, it's awesome value. And again, you know, the Ravens have a certain, you know, that's why I said I would love to see the Ravens board when it's all said and done, to see, because a lot of people will be surprised when they're like, well, the Ravens obviously were looking at this guy or this guy, and then sometimes they weren't. Like when Denzel Mims was linked to the Ravens, everybody was like, no, they wanted Duvernay. You know, they didn't want this receiver, that receiver that the fans probably wanted. The Ravens stuck true and wanted a certain one of their guys. So I would love to see how the Ravens board compares to how their players actually got drafted. But it's pretty special to see now how it unfolds. But yeah, Ben Bredesen's going to be one of those in-depth picks for sure for the Ravens on the line.
Now, those are the guys we just talked about from rounds 1 through 4. Not one of those guys is a tight end. With the trade of Hayden Hurst to Atlanta, are you a little surprised that no tight end was drafted so far?
I actually was. I thought that the Ravens would take a flyer on Randy Moss's son, Thaddeus Moss, who's a tight end. You know, we were chatting there and with a few friends of mine, and his name came up. And I was like, you know what? That would be an awesome addition. And I was actually real surprised to see the Ravens did not draft a tight end. But again, that gives them faith in Nick Boyle, who they gave an extension to 2 years ago. And obviously Mark Andrews, who's just come in and been an absolute beast. And I feel like, you know, hey, I was actually really surprised that a tight end wasn't selected to replace Hurst, but maybe it just wasn't in their plans to begin with at all.
And we do know that the Ravens always like to carry an undrafted player as well. And the Ravens were very busy after the draft was over to pick up some undrafted players. And maybe they'll find a little gold there. They seem to always do that. But coming back to this draft, in round 5, Broderick Washington, he's a defensive tackle. He was drafted in round 5 at pick 170. He comes from Texas Tech. He's a 305-pounder. Ooh, that's a big boy right there. And he was a 3-year starter at Texas Tech as well. And there's potential he may be seeing some playing time in 2020, depending on how his training camp goes. So have you been able to watch any highlights or anything of Broderick Washington?
I actually have. Yeah, I pulled up some of the film on him, and I think he's definitely going to be used on the line to provide depth, obviously, with adding Clayus Campbell and Derek Wolfe, and then also previously him, Justin Madubuike. This was one of those in-depth picks I'm talking about. Obviously, being selected in the 5th round, 170th overall, it's, you know, obviously you're not drafting a day one starter, but we talked about this is a depth move. And also with Brandon Williams getting up there, who knows how many years he has left with the kind of defense we run, we always want to have that fresh legs in there, fresh bodies to get after it. And I feel like, you know, Broderick Washington is going to definitely provide that that depth that we need on the line, which is always good because we had trouble stopping the run. We had trouble getting to the quarterback. So again, you can never be too careful in adding depth down the line where you need to. And I feel like this is one that fits the bill easily.
Ground six at pick 201. We have James, I think his name is Proche. He's a protege. There we go.
It's like Porsche, but with Proche. Like, it looks like it's Porsche when I actually said that. I was like, oh, it's James Porsche. I'm like, no, it's not Proche. You have to look at the R in there. I was like, Porsche. Because that's one of those tricks your eyes play on you when you don't look at the O and the R. Looks like it's Porsche.
It does, yeah.
Well, we got a Porsche, and then that's Proche.
Let's hope he's as fast as a Porsche.
Yeah,
he is a wide receiver. Let's hope he's as fast as a Porsche there. But he's a guy that a lot of people are saying could be the Ravens' punt returner. You were talking about that for the first wide receiver we drafted, but this might be a guy who has got some speed, and he potentially could be the punt returner as well.
Absolutely. And I just throw those out there, right? Because, you know, especially adding depth to the receivers, we just don't know who might pan out. I expect one of the receivers to be used in those kind of services. Proche might fit the bill better than that because he was used in that regard in college. He has the pedigree in the background. I feel like that could certainly be the fit here because right here, now, right on the scouting report, he was ranked second in the AAC, which is the American Athletic Conference, with a 9.6 punt return yard average. And so there it is. So there could be our special teamer right there found late in the draft and provide that dynamic spark instead of starting Lamar's offense on the 25 every time with touchbacks, if he's allowed to touch the ball, right? And I feel like with the way these kicks are, we got to get a little bit more touchback, a little less touchbacks, a little bit more action returning it. But I feel like, you know, regardless, spinning kickoffs, he can certainly provide that on a punt. If we can get our coverages together and get some room, and Proche can certainly make the team on special teams and offer their services. And I feel like he's going to create that explosiveness that we need to see, and whether returning one to the house or creating some good game-altering field position for us and creating a better opportunity for offense to score on a shorter field.
And our last pick, round seven, pick 219, Geno Stone. He's a safety from Iowa. There's a good chance you're not going to see him this year, but potentially he could be a special teams guy, and he could learn something from Earl Thomas and Chuck Clark this year. But he had 70 tackles, one sack, one interception in 2019. So potential, some depth there as well, round seven. So Geno Stone, he could again strengthen up the defense.
Well, he certainly can, especially with the departures of Jefferson and Carr. I this one was the depth. I feel like our secondary is still pretty much solid, but I feel like our safety position was thin. And with Earl Thomas back there and with the departures, I feel like it's kind of like a who's who with safety. We know our corners are set. But this one, look out for him to make an impact in camp. Geno Stone out of Iowa, I'm certainly going to keep an eye out on him. He was dubbed coming in and providing help where needed. So, allowing Stone only allowed 137 yards while intercepting in three passes. So, and one of my favorites on the scouting report, he's got a big hit reputation. Remember those days of Ed Reed lowering the shoulder and lowering the boom, man. And, these scouting reports are almost true to any Raven that come through here, man. It's, they fit the bill. And I feel like their services will certainly provide some sparks on the field for us and provide the help that we need. But again, this was a solid draft, a great grade across the board. Couldn't be more pleased with how this draft fell for the Ravens. They didn't do what most fans thought they were going to do and trade out of the first round to begin with. Their player fell right to them. Again, man, I'm certainly excited for these kids coming to Baltimore and make an impact, man. And we're going to welcome into the community, into the Ravens flock. It's going to be fantastic, man, to see them play, hopefully for years to come for us.
That's right. And undrafted free agents, there's a whole list. We're not going to go through everything, but that's where you might find the tight end. We have Eli Wolf from Georgia. He was signed to a contract with the Ravens. But the one guy I do want to talk about, Bronson Steiner, he was picked up by the Ravens, and he is actually the son of former wrestling star Rick Steiner, and he's a fullback. So there's a potential of the fullback position coming back to Baltimore with Rick Steiner's son. What do you think? I don't know anything about this guy. He went undrafted, but he did get signed. If it doesn't work out in Baltimore, I mean, there's always the squared circle he could go back to. But there's potential. Broxton Steiner coming to the Ravens as well.
I don't know much about him, to be honest with you. Again, with the undrafteds, I certainly have to go back and look. But with the undrafteds, one could always slip through the cracks. I believe it or not, and again, you can certainly correct me if I'm wrong, anybody out there. I think Jared Gaither was the last Ravens undrafted pick that worked out, or I think he was a supplemental pick. I can't remember one of the two, but I want to say it was Jared Gaither. So it's definitely happened before, but just looking at the dude, knowing his background, where he comes from, his pedigree, some of his poses, man, with the photos that I've seen, the dude's a monster. And I want to get back to that. You want to talk about improving the running game. I want to bring back what we had previously here. Sam Gash, Vonta Leach, man, you know, Brandon Ayuk, like some of those like heavy hitter fullbacks, you know, and Patrick Card used to be services as fullback for a little bit as well. So, you know, I've seen it, and I really, really can't wait to, you know, if this one pans out. But that's one of the undrafted free agents that the players that I really want to see make the Ravens, because this dude looks like an absolute killer. And I feel like we need to bring back the way of the fullback. It's a lost cause in the NFL these days, but I feel like if it's anything, the Ravens can do it. And obviously, one household name that everybody knows about now is Kyle Juszczyk, that now services around San Francisco. He was the last great fullback to play for the Ravens and made some great plays for us. So I feel like, hey, who knows, but bring back the fullback. I'm all for it, man.
Yeah, and if you look at his Twitter page, just from 2015, he's got all these offers from crazy amounts of colleges, including Towson University here in Maryland. So he definitely was sought after in the college arena. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens and what he can bring to the team. Hopefully, you know, he can do something, but otherwise we might see him go in the wrestling route. So before we close out the show, well, I think we're done talking about the draft, but before we get out of there, unfortunately, we have not been able to talk about a schedule for the NFL because they have not released any due to the COVID-19 pandemic going on right now. And supposedly, there are some contingency plans in case the NFL season either gets delayed or something like that happens. They potentially could have a Super Bowl, they said, that kicks off on February 28th. A regular season that starts as late as Thursday, October 15th, an NFL season with no bye weeks or Pro Bowl. So some of these changes could be coming this season. We don't know what's going to happen. We're recording this on April 27th. I know OTAs are coming up soon. Then you're going to have training camp, but due to COVID-19, everything's kind of on hold right now until this this virus is controlled in some way, but we're not gonna talk about how to fix that issue because we're just some football fans. But the Super Bowl potentially getting moved from February 7th to February 28th, no bye weeks or Pro Bowl, and a season starting later on October 15th. I mean, these are very real possibilities with everything going on right now. And as I love doing the schedule show for the call, so I'm missing that right now. But right now, everything's kind of up in the air, and we saw what the pandemic did to the draft. And I want to commend ESPN and the NFL Network for all of the great work they did behind the scenes to make that even possible. And it really sucks that we didn't get to see the draft in Las Vegas and all the crazy things that they had planned for that event. But technically, I thought that the draft went off without a hitch, and I thought they did a really good job with, I don't even know how many cameras, God, they had all over the country. But Josh, what do you think? I think some NFL is better than no NFL going forward. If they have to delay the season, have it start later, I mean, it's something they're going to have to do. I'd rather do that than put people at risk for getting sick. But the NFL is at least planning on things being delayed right now.
Yeah, man, and I feel like that's the reason why we haven't had a schedule yet. They got to get things under control. We don't know what's going to happen. We've already heard through the commissioner. I feel like the schedule's coming out, I think, the second weekend in May. I think it comes out May 8th or May 9th. So we're going to probably, it's due to maybe some backup plans, maybe have a schedule for September through December, maybe have a schedule for a hybrid schedule. And I like the fact that they're not going to condense it. It doesn't sound like that, whatever, like if they were to start late, like whether it's October or whatever, November, it doesn't sound like they're, okay, we're only going to play 8 games. Like the NFL is trying to get their guys to play full 16-game schedule. Fortunately, with now, they could probably bleed it into late February or even March because the Ravens, or not say the Ravens, the NFL now has no competition with the virus knocking out the XFL in its own right, which is crazy. And they have no competition. So the NFL, with nothing going on except the later part of the NBA season and NHL season in there, they're not interfering with the NCAA tournament, but well, don't start to mid-March as well. So the NFL can certainly go, and even if not, even if it did carry over in the late March, you know, they can certainly get away with it, and then maybe roll right into the offseason. So of the next season, OTAs, and have it on schedule for 2021. So and then with the, I feel like with the schedule, it's going to be in the best interest of everybody. We might have to buckle up where they're already speculating that there could be early games with no fans and then allowing them to come back mid-season to games. I don't know what's on the table at that point. I guess we'll let the NFL dictate that. With me having season tickets, it's a big question mark. You're like, what's going to happen? Are we going to get refunded? Because, you know, PSL owners like me, some of them pay their bills in full. So my season tickets for 2020 are paid for. So if they need to reimburse some games, or we're not going to have a few games, I'm sure there's going to be some reimbursements and some credit backs, but just like everything else. But I'm really interested to see what happens. But I feel like this is a ray of hope for everybody, you know, not in the sports world, but in the real world. Because, again, these players, coaches, and everybody, they have jobs. They're stadium workers that need to work. And we worry about all that and the revenue that the games bring in for the cities and the traveling and all that. There's a lot of logistics, because if you open up for fans, can you travel to games? Are we going to go on road games? Or, you know, so there's a lot that has to happen. Again, being that this is April, with this thing happening so early, we hope and pray that this thing ain't carrying on into the fall. It should. We anticipate it should it to be over. You know, maybe still taking minor precautions here and there, but it's unprecedented times. It's something real we have to talk about and face together, but we'll get through it. And the fact that the NFL, and I do commend ESPN, like you said, the NFL held their draft, which was absolutely awesome to see an inside look at some people's houses. I know for one, the rave reviews were the Cardinals coach Cliff Kingsbury's house was an absolute immaculate place. And just to see some of the deaths, and I know one of the steals was Bill Belichick's dog just sitting in the chair when he got up. So that was pretty fun to see. So just like how I am with working at home with my pup. So it was great. You know, I'm not sure if I'm on the fence. Like, someone asked me, Brandon, you know, how this was such a success, even if everybody were to get back together, would you want the draft to be like that? I think it was fun. But then I feel like it waters down the memories, because this was such an unprecedented thing that, you know, and I'm sure if you asked, if you pulled the owners and the coaches and the GMs that were all involved, I'm sure they want to be back in their war rooms at the facilities and getting everything as normal and not having to worry about the families and the hookups that went, you know, at home and all that, because it's a headache. But, but it was cool for us to really see the production. It went flawlessly. And again, we commend all the men and women involved that put this together for us production wise. It really felt like, I personally, I almost forgot it was online to begin with, because just, you know, I got to watch day two and day three, because I didn't have to be on camera at those junctures. So just watching the presentation, it was seamless. I don't recall any technical glitches or issues to anybody. No one lost a pick. No one, you know, had anything happen. So from my recollection, kudos across the board to everybody involved. They're the heroes of the weekend there for the production, because they made it happen for us. We have some sort of sports to watch and hang on to and watch the breakdown for 3 days. It was nothing but drafting NFL players, talking about it, trashing everybody else's team's picks, and praising your own. And it's been good conversation over the last weekend, man. It's been awesome.
Yeah, it has been great, and hopefully the NFL just does whatever is best for everybody's health involved. I know no matter what happens next season, they're going to do everything that they have to make sure a season does happen. But hopefully that they just keep everybody safe and everybody is able to be healthy. And, you know, we live in a brand new world now, so it'll be very interesting to see how everything gets handled down the road. But, Josh, have we covered everything for this draft special of The Call?
Absolutely, man. Wrapping up the 2020 draft coverage, quoth the Raven, nevermore.
Now, if you want to continue the conversation with Josh or I, you can. It's real easy. Go over to our Facebook page, facebook.com/thecallpodcast. Like us over there. Whenever a new show comes out, you'll be the first to know. And you can tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at BrandoCash. Josh, where can people tweet to you at?
At always in Italian GQ52.
Now, we do the show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, and Google Play Music. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Twitch and TikTok, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say, I'm a Baltimore Ravens fan. I listen to The Call, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Everybody stay safe out there. Take care of yourselves. And thank you to all of our first line responders. You guys are the true heroes throughout this entire pandemic. And thank you so much for everything you're doing for us. Josh, take us out the way you always do.
Brandon, thank you so much, my friend. I'm glad everybody's being safe and sound in your household. And to all the men and women on the front lines, everybody out there working hard, we appreciate every single one of you and what you do every day. To all those that have been affected by this in some way, shape, or form, everybody's been affected, sorry about that. But, you know, everybody else that's out there, we certainly thinking of you guys, hopefully providing some great content for you. I know with putting out the pre-draft show, I've been a special guest on some podcast out there with my buddy Steve, me and Brandon doing our thing on The Call. I'm hoping that we can certainly allow you guys to take a break, think about some good memories with the Ravens and some memories to come for 2020 as we move through this crazy offseason and crazy time as a nation, that we'll get back to doing what we all do best, getting back to work, getting back to living, getting back to rooting for our teams and doing it the right way and just, you know, create more memories to come. And couldn't be more happy as, just knowing that everybody I know is safe and sound, and we continue to move through these crazy, crazy times. But Brandon, man, thank you also very much for all you do. Ravens Nation, we're going to get through this. We're going to come out, and we're going to be stronger as a nation. Hey, and the Ravens got better as a football team, and they're going to be even stronger heading into 2020. I'm excited for our draft picks. I'm excited what they can bring this year. And, man, welcome all new Ravens picks to the Ravens Nation. We're excited to have you in purple and black, and it's going to be awesome. With that being said, Baltimore Ravens, let's fly high.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by Brad Lepore and Daniel Kelly from the DBK Studio. For more information, go to BrandoCash.com.